Mrs. Innes Lillingstone, Reel 2.
What did your mother think of you becoming a nurse?
Oh, my mother died before I can remember. I had your stepmother. And my father died 1901, so it was before.
So there was no one to stop you?
No. No, and they wouldn't have stopped me. Not my family. We were all go-aheads.
Did your sisters also do war work?
Yes, tremendous. They collected vegetables for the fleet. Well, everything that was done, they did from their own home. And one of them became a landgear. The others, older sisters and me, did work at home and helped with every sort of thing. But I was abroad by then, because I volunteered for foreign service and was sent to Malta.
How soon was that, after the beginning of
that
the war?
That was about 1916.
I see. So for the first part of the war?
The first part of the war, I was in Berwickshire with these Belgians. Then that was closed down, and I was put in charge of a hospital at Dunse, which was our county town, and that was English soldiers. And that was very, very difficult, because, you see, I had really no training, except this 6 weeks. And the men were supposed never to go out of bounds. And there they were, confined to a garden, and most of them pretty well. And it was very difficult. And finally I resigned. And I went to a hospital in Leith and volunteered for abroad. And while I was there, I was appointed to Malta.
Yes, while you were commandant in England, what did your duties involve?
Well, running this hospital at Pomden for the Belgians.
Did you have trained nurses working for you?
No, I didn't. But I had a retired nurse. I couldn't have done it without. Then the next hospital, I had a fully trained nurse. And of course we were visited by doctors, and they were only convalescents. So it wasn't such a fearful responsibility, but for anyone who had not been trained.
Did you have any VADs?
Yes, so they were mostly VADs. They were all VADs, nearly.
Can you remember how many there were?
Well, there were certainly 10 or 12.
And how many patients?
About 20, I think. We used to take picnics. I used to go around and say goodnight to the always in the wards. We were great friends. We made great friends. But it's the most extraordinary to look back on the amount of work that one was given to do for which one had had no training.
Did you have anyone you could turn to for help? Did you have
no.
a supervisor?
No. I had friends, but nobody any more trained than I was. One just had to do one's best.
What was your convalescent home like? Had it been a private home formerly?
Yes, private house. Both of them.
And what had to be done to the house to convert it into a hospital?
Oh, well, they just put as many beds into the biggest rooms as they could. And the kitchen was big enough. What I think might be more interesting to you is that when I went abroad, I went out in the Britannic, which was a huge ship. I suppose she must have been a liner converted to a hospital ship. And they sent out, I was sent for an interview first to Grosvenor House to see Dame Catherine Furze, who I think was head of the Red Cross. And when she heard I was a commandant, she said I'd better be sort of in charge of the VAD contingent. So I was, I had nothing special to do over that, really. The Britannic was too big to get into Malta Harbour, so we had to go on to the Greek islands and transship into a smaller hospital ship at Mudros, where I was shown Rupert Brooke's grave. When we got back to Malta, and the Britannic, on her next voyage out, was sunk, torpedoed. And all, you see, the men aboard her were stewards and that sort of thing. They were not sailors. And one boatload was saved entirely by a VAD who knew how to row and how to manage a boat. And I thought that was pretty wonderful.
Yes. You said you had to go to London for an interview before you went to Malta. Mm-hmm. What was Dame Catherine Furze like?
Well, she wasn't a bit alarming. That's all I remember. She was most awfully kind. I didn't feel a bit nervous.
Did you have to have any physical or educational examinations before you went
Yes. I'd had varicose veins, and I had to have them taken out before they would accept me.
What did that involve?
That involved only a week or 10 days in a hospital. And if I remember right, the fees of the hospital were £2.10 a week, which is rather different to now.
Yes.
I think my pay as a VAD was about £20 a year.
As commandant?
Mm-hmm. I think it was. Oh, that didn't make any difference. No, you just were paid as a... Of course, I wasn't a commandant in hospital. I was just an ordinary VAD. It was only in my detachment that I was.
Was your operation successful then?
Quite successful. But I was eventually invalided home from Malta with dysentery. And then I resigned because I was no longer fit for foreign service. As I say, I was not a born nurse, so I resigned and took a secretarial training. But we had Canadian sisters out in Malta. I don't know if they were Red Cross or not. But the VADs were used a lot out there. It was practically all malaria or dysentery from Salonika.
When you went out in the Britannic, did you have any duties?
In what?
When you went out to Malta in the Britannic, did you have any duties, or was it just a trip to get out there? You had no nursing on the ship?
Oh, no, no nursing on the ship. It was just a passage out. You see, the ship would come back full of wounded, which it went out taking staff and nurses.
Mm-hmm. What was Mudros like?
Well, we weren't allowed to go ashore.
How did you see Rupert Brooke's grave?
But I was told, I was pointed out, that was where he was buried. And I got up early in the morning, I remember, to come see the Gulf of Corinth as we came through the islands, of Greek and Grecian islands. It was a wonderful experience. I had a very happy time. Now, I tell you another thing. Malta was not a theatre of war in the First War, when you think what it was in the Second. And so I got no medal for it. I got a general service medal, but I didn't get the medal for foreign service, because Malta was not a theatre of war. Doesn't it show how things change?
Yes. When was it that you arrived in Malta?
It was about 1916 or 17.
What time of year?
Oh, what time of year? I think it was the autumn. It was not hot. I was there all through a summer. Yes, it must have been the autumn.
Did you need to take any special clothes or supplies with you out to Malta?
Well, we wore white uniform, which was a jacket and skirt of white pique, 14 inches from the ground, and a white shirt, and a Panama hat, as far as I remember. And I remember a Maltese woman did the laundry for me, and it was one penny for each thing. It was a penny for a handkerchief. It was also a penny for the jacket or the skirt.
Did you wear an apron as well?
Oh, yes. This was off-duty uniform.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yes. What did you wear on duty?
On duty we wore blue dresses with big aprons with a big red cross. And we wore a cap with sort of draped with the back. And then we had separate sleeves. The dresses were short sleeves, and then we had white sleeves that came over that we took off when we were working.
From the elbow down
yes.
to the wrist?
Yes.
Was the dress made of a different material, a different weight, than the dress you'd worn
yes.
in England?
Yes, it was cotton. Yes, the others were thick pique. They were very smart. Oh, and I remember being really grand. I got a silk copy of the uniform made for wearing if I went out to a party. So I must never have worn civilian clothes. Now I come to think of it.
Did your office...